Our scripture reading is Psalm 139. Psalm 139, a psalm of David, and we'll read the whole of this chapter of the Word of God. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May the Lord write His word upon our hearts. Let me read now the text. Verses 17 and 18 of this psalm. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. This is, beloved, a very striking psalm of David. And that's because David mentions in this psalm three crucial and profound truths concerning God. He mentions, first of all, that God is omniscient, the God who knows all things, the God who knows even our thoughts. But then he also mentions that God is omnipresent. No matter where we go in this universe, in this creation, God is there in every part of his world. And then thirdly, David mentions that God is omnipotent, the Almighty God. God who is almighty and displays that power in how he has fashioned each of us in our mother's womb. What is striking about these profound truths concerning God that David speaks of in this psalm is that David does not speak about them abstractly, but rather very personally. David confesses this: the omniscient God, who knows all things, knows me and knows everything about me. And the omnipresent God is with me in this world. Wherever I go, he is there. He is always at my side. And the omnipotent God is the God who made me. I was fearfully and wonderfully made by him in the womb of my mother. Profound and crucial truths concerning God. And in our text, at the very beginning of the text, as indicated by the word also, David tells us how he views these truths concerning God. He has spoken of them in all of the verses leading up to our text, and then he begins our text with this: how precious also are thy thoughts, O God. And that tells us that David's perspective with regard to God's omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence is they are precious to him. Those truths concerning God are precious and valuable to him as a believer. But then he adds in our text that there is one more thing that is precious to him, and that is the thoughts of God. That he comes to that in our text indicates that this really is the main thing. This really is more precious than anything else. The most precious thing to him of all the things mentioned here in this psalm is God's thought. And as this sermon, beloved, is an applicatory sermon, then the text expresses the desire and the behavior and the perspective of the thankful believer. The thankful believer joins David. And the thankful believer confesses about the thoughts of God what David confessed concerning those thoughts of God. The thankful believer lives in the awareness of God's thoughts and considering those thoughts to be very precious to him. And that must be our attitude then as the people of God, because that's an attitude, beloved, that influences and affects our whole life in this world. Our theme then, as we look at this text, is considering God's thoughts to be precious. And we'll notice what God's thoughts are, why they are precious, and how this gives comfort. David states in our text that the thoughts of God are precious to him. That is, literally, the thoughts of God are of very high value to him. He values them highly. And David certainly had in his life and in his experiences many other things that he might consider to be precious. He might consider his power as king to be precious. He might consider his victories to be valuable to him, or his riches, or his success as a warrior king, or even all of the possessions and riches that he had gathered under the blessing of God, or even his family, his wife, his children. And David could have said concerning any of those things, or even concerning all of those things, that's what I value. That's what is precious to me of all that God has given to me in this life. But David doesn't say that. He says, most precious, valuable above all other things is this, the thoughts of my God. I don't consider earthly things as my most valuable treasure in this life, but here is what is dear to me, and here is what is dear to my heart as a child of God, God's thought. God's thoughts. And that raises the question, what are God's thoughts? What was David referring to? What was David speaking about? Now, obviously, the thoughts of God are the things that God thinks. The things that are in God's mind. But David is not referring here to what you might refer to as God's current thoughts, the things that God is thinking right now about him. God does do that, of course. We are never out of God's mind. God is always thinking about his people, and that is a precious thing too. But the text is not referring to God's thinking, as it were, in time. But instead, David has in mind, when he speaks about God's thoughts, God's eternal thoughts. Eternal thoughts. That is, God's counsel. That's what's precious to David. Counsel of God, as you know, is given many different names in Scripture, referred to as God's will, God's plan, God's purposes, God's good pleasure, God's decree, but also God's thoughts. You notice a few other references to that. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, speaking about the thoughts of God as well, says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's a reference to God's counsel, God's will. Then Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God knows the plans. God knows the purposes that he has toward us. His plan and his purposes are of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. And that's what the psalm refers to as well, the words of our text, God's eternal thoughts, God's unchanging counsel, plan, and purpose. Now, it's not a name that's very common in reference to the will of God. It's unique because of that, but nevertheless a beautiful name because of what it teaches us about God's counsel. And first of all, this name, the fact that God refers to us and reveals to us that his counsel can be viewed as his thoughts, his eternal thoughts, that reveals to us, first of all, that his decrees, his plans are carefully worked out by him. That is, God does not act without thinking. We sometimes do that. We do things without thinking. We don't plan carefully. We don't think through everything that we intend to do. And that, as you children no doubt have learned, is usually when things go wrong. When you have problems. And then your parents will say to you, "You didn't think, did you? You didn't think. Think before you act. Think it through before you do it." Well, that's not true of God. God thought about everything. God's plan is God's eternal thought. And God, therefore, did not suddenly create the world without first carefully thinking everything through. He did not make a quick decision concerning creation and the fall of man into sin and the advance of the human race through history and then think finally, quickly to provide his son as the savior for man. And he did not make, as it were, a last minute decision concerning you and me, a last minute plan concerning our lives. But God gave careful thought to his plan. He made a plan that would work and not fail. Nothing random or unexpected or accidental that might surprise him. Nothing that might lead God to have to say, as some claim God had to say, that now I need to revert or turn to plan B for things. Not that. But God thought carefully, eternally, about everything that he would do. A plan that fits together. You could say a well thought out plan of God, needing no change, and a plan that was sure to succeed. That's what the name thoughts expresses. And secondly, the name thoughts shows us that God's plan, God's counsel and will is important to him. Just think, for example, of yourself and a close friend, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a spouse, a parent, a child, someone you think about a lot, someone who's always on your mind. Why do you think about that person? Why is that person always on your mind? Why do you have so many thoughts about that individual? Well, that's because that person is very important to you. And that's true of God's counsel. God's eternal thoughts are very important to God. And those eternal thoughts of God are very important to God because they are really God's thoughts, first of all, about Himself. About Himself because in those eternal thoughts of God, in that eternal plan of God, it was God's purpose, His chief purpose, to glorify His own name. Those thoughts of God are important to God also because they were thoughts concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, His beloved Son, central in all His thoughts, central in His plans, central in His purposes in world and time and history. Important to Him because He would send His Son. Important to Him because His Son would save the church that He had chosen. And important to Him because His Son is the Son of His eternal love. And also important to Him because God's eternal thoughts were thoughts concerning His elect, His church. And His purpose to redeem and bring that church unto Himself, His eternal plan to bring us to Himself. And so His thoughts were important to Him because we were and are and always will be the objects of His eternal, almighty, unfathomable love in Jesus Christ. So God is not distant and disinterested with regard to His counsel. He is not indifferent to His eternal thoughts, as though God might be able to say or would say, well, whatever happens, happens. It really doesn't matter so much to me. No, God's eternal will and its fulfillment in time is very important to God. And David says that will is important also to me, precious to me. My treasure in this life as a child of God is not my life itself, not my health, not my family, not my children, not my success in life, but most precious to me are the thoughts of my God. My treasure in this life is God's eternal counsel, God's eternal plan, with Jesus Christ, my Savior, at the center of that plan, and God's purpose through Him to glorify Himself through my salvation as a member of His church. Valuable to me, above all, is God's plan, God's will for my life. And that raises the question, beloved, how conscious are you and I in our daily life of God's eternal thoughts? And how precious to us are those thoughts of God? We don't usually think of God's will as something that is valuable and precious to us. We know about it. We admit that everything happens according to it. Things come, and we say, yes, that was the will of God. But do we say, and that is precious to me. That's valuable to me. That plan of my God is dear to my heart. How precious are God's thoughts unto me. But why are the thoughts of God so precious? Well, we could mention many reasons. And if you want to have before your mind many reasons why the thoughts of God are precious, then you only have to think about the attributes of the counsel of God. God's thoughts, God's counsel is precious to us because His counsel is sovereign. It is God's plan and not man's eternal plan, and therefore it is guaranteed to work. Or we could say God's thoughts are precious to us because God's thoughts have a unity. That is, there is really one thought of God, to glorify Himself through saving His church in Christ. Not haphazard, not all kinds of disconnected, unrelated plans, but one plan of God. That makes God's thoughts precious. Or we could say that God's thoughts are precious to us because they are wise thoughts. A perfect plan for us, no mistakes, no accidents, no need to change, no surprises to us. Or we might say that God's thoughts are precious also because they are eternal thoughts. God is not a reacting God. He is not a weak God. He's not a God whose plan is dependent on men and what men do. But He is mighty to do what He has willed. That makes His thoughts precious. But notice what our text mentions as making the thoughts of God precious to David and precious to us. The thoughts of God were precious to David because the thoughts of God were thoughts concerning David. They were personal thoughts, not simply vague and general thoughts or plans concerning David's life, but very specific ones. And in the context of this psalm, David indicates how specific and detailed the thoughts of God were for him. God's thoughts encompassed David's sitting down and David's rising up and David's paths in life. God's thoughts included David's lying down and the words that David spoke that came out of his mouth, as well as his development over many, many months in the womb of his mother. And David is teaching and stating here in this psalm that God has not simply made general and vague plans concerning his life as a child of God, but David is saying God's will is very specific concerning me and my life. This is the will of the God who has in love eternally decided every detail of my life. The will of the God who is, yes, omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent, but who is those things for me as one of His children, and who is in perfect harmony with His eternal thoughts, His eternal will, using His presence and His power and His knowledge of all things to save me, one of His children. The will of God is not a cold plan. The will of God is not like the plan you might have for a house, a dry, written document. But it is the will of the living God. And it is the will of the living God who is, in the context of this psalm, Jehovah our God, the God who has eternally loved His people, and the God who in love has drawn us to Himself in Christ, and the God who in love keeps us near to Him, so that we can say, as we do in verse 18, even when I awake, every morning, and even when I awake after this life, through death, I am still with Him, my covenant God. The will of God is the will of the God who is interested in us. The will of God who takes time for us. And that God says to us, I am interested in you, and I have taken time for you already in eternity. Already in eternity. You were in my eternal thoughts. And I thought about everything concerning you. I thought about everything for the salvation and glorification of my church in Jesus Christ. But also I thought and planned everything for every one of you who is a member of my church, my people. My thoughts are personal thoughts concerning you, every one of you. That's what God says. And that leads the believer to say, but why? Why? Why should God bother with the life of a small, insignificant creature of dust like me? Why should God have eternally bothered with me? Why, when I am a sinner? Why, when I am a wretched man? A wretched woman. Why, when on account of my sin, I deserve to be ignored by God? No, even worse, I deserve to be cast away by God. Who am I that God should eternally, yes, eternally be mindful of me? Why should the great God bother with me? But He does. He did. And He always will. Eternally planning the salvation of the church and everyone who belongs to that church. A perfect plan. And that makes the thoughts of God very precious and very valuable to every one of us. But secondly, the thoughts of God are precious because there are so many of them. That really is what David emphasizes here. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And even in verse 17, how great is the sum of them? Too many to count. compared to the grains of sand. If you try to count grains of sand, you soon discover that that's impossible. You may, children, perhaps grab a handful of sand sometime and start counting the grains of sand. You cannot do that. And David says God's thoughts concerning him, simply, because that's what he's talking about himself here in reference to the eternal thoughts of God. And he says God's thoughts simply concerning him, concerning one individual, are innumerable, more in number than the sand. And what the text teaches by that is that the counsel of God is precious because the counsel of God, the plan of God, is all-comprehensive. All-comprehensive. Everything is included by God. Yes, also such things as our sitting down, and our rising up, and our words that come from our mouths. Every event, every detail in the world, and every detail of our personal life. All of the great things that happen in your life, your birth, your marriage, your family, your church membership, all included in God's eternal thoughts. But also all of the small things in life, the number of hairs on your head, the movements of your body, the germs that invade us, all of our likes and dislikes in life, all of the good things, life and breath and work and friends and family and pleasures and successes in life, but also all of the evil things, the suffering, the failures in life, the sickness that suddenly comes, aging and sin and troubles, troubles in life in general, troubles in the family, even troubles in the churches, and death. An all-comprehensive plan of God. And among all of those innumerable thoughts of God, too many for us to count, there is one thought of God that especially stands out as the controlling thought of our God. And that is this thought of God. But he says to us, I thought, I planned your salvation in Jesus Christ, my Son. And I sent him, and I caused his body to be broken and his blood to be shed so that you might be redeemed by my Son and brought into my family, the family of Jehovah, your covenant God. And that is central, God says, to all of my thoughts. All of my other thoughts concerning you and your life are secondary. Serving this one thought, this chief thought, this grand purpose of mine to bring you unto myself, so that you can say and you can confess as one of my children, when I awake, I am still with God. now in this life and in eternity. The believing child of God, by the grace of God, says, how precious are God's thoughts, therefore. He has thought of absolutely everything. All is well. All is well. And it is true that God's thoughts, God's plans and purposes and ways for us are not always easy for us. God's hand sometimes makes the child of God struggle. We are greatly troubled. We weep. We do so because of what we might personally suffer from the hand of God, or we do so because we see and we know others who are suffering. We become discouraged sometimes. We become disappointed sometimes, even concerning God's thoughts, God's plans. Tempted to question those thoughts of God because we cannot understand why God thought up, why God planned these things, and why God does these things. We wish we could understand. Often we think and we say, if only I could see how this is good for my life and good for my soul. But our text teaches us, beloved, that we do not need to fathom the thoughts of God. That is, we don't need to know why. Isn't it enough, beloved, that God has thought about everything? And isn't it enough that everything that occurs in our lives is included, has been included eternally in the thoughts and plans and purposes of God? And isn't it enough that God's central thought in all of the thoughts of God is to save and bring His church and you as a member of that church to Himself in glory? And isn't it enough that the Almighty God, the Omnipotent God, is doing it all, and He knows what He is doing? By faith, the believer says, yes, that's enough. That's enough. Enough that God has eternally constructed an elaborate and detailed plan for my salvation. And enough that He has chosen me as His own and did not spare His Son for me. And enough that He is carrying out His perfect plan. And eternal glory with Him is coming. And enough that when I awake after this life is over, I will still be with Him. That's enough. That enables the child of God to go on, to face another day and everything that is in it. To have confidence and comfort and peace. because always God is with us and we with Him. And we are safely in the hands of our God. So let this be, beloved, your thankful confession and your perspective and attitude in all of life. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O my God. Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful for thy word, thankful for thy eternal thoughts concerning us, thoughts that are precious to us as thy children, because every thought is a good thought, a thought concerning us for our blessing, for our salvation in Christ Jesus, thy Son. So bless us and strengthen and comfort us by this word through thy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.